Today is Thursday, the 20th of July, 2017. And my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Geeky Gay, a personal journal. So if you like personal journals, you're in the right location. If you don't, then maybe you're not in the right location. I don't know. You can make that decision. But this is just all about my life as a gay geek. And sometimes it's geeky. A lot of times it's not geeky at all. But for lack of a better title, that's what I named it. Because I am a little bit geeky and I am a lot gay. A little geeky, a lot gay. So anyway, welcome everyone. So today I wanted to talk about, last night I actually, I had a dream. I had a dream, as one might say, but I had a dream last night, and that dream was about an ex of mine. So I wanted to tell a little bit of a story, and I've probably told this on other podcasts. I've probably gone into a little bit of detail about this particular ex, but I don't remember. I mean, I used to do the Adam and Maddie show, and I don't know if I talked about him on there. I've done Dubious Intent forever. You know, I've been podcasting for, I don't know, probably about 10 years now, if not more. And I'm sure I must have brought something up at some point, but I wanted to kind of revisit that in case I hadn't. And this is, and I first of all, I want to say my current boyfriend, Mark, who we've been together for 5 years now, and in another couple of years, he will be the longest running of any of my relationships. So we're definitely going to make that. But so I love him, and I don't want to be with anybody else but him. But what I want to say is this boyfriend that I'm going to talk about is a very, I don't know, he's just kind of stayed with me. Like, and I don't, if any of you have had this sort of thing happen, I really wanted to record this podcast because I don't know if this is unique to me or if anyone else has ever had a situation where there's that one person in their life that they were with and they couldn't get that person. I don't know. I don't want to be with him now. Like, I don't want to be with him, but he was always there in the back of my mind. And if I was ever single, I would think, oh, you know, I wonder what he's up to or, you know, whatever. And I'll kind of go into a little bit and maybe you'll know, because I'm a little bit of obsessive compulsive by nature. And I don't like rejection. And I feel like one of the reasons that I have been in the past so hung up on this person is because he rejected me. And I never knew whether he was with me because he loved me or if he was with me because of my monetary situation or, you know, what the case may be. So anyway, this particular boyfriend, his name is Phil and he's British. And when I was in college, I was with the guy that I was dating, or we were boyfriends. So we weren't living together, but I mean, we were monogamous. We were not, you know, dating anyone else. We were not having sex with anyone else. But I was 19-ish, I think, when I met him, and he was 36 at the time. So he was a lot older than me. He had his career. He was fully established. Everything. And, you know, I was very young and immature, and I don't know how he even stayed with me. But I was with him, and he moved to, I was going to school at Ole Miss, and he lived in Memphis, Tennessee, which is about an hour away from Ole Miss. And this particular boyfriend, he got a job opportunity in Chicago. And so we discussed it, and I said, well, you know, I have to finish my college, and I don't want to move to Chicago to finish college. I want to finish where I'm at. I have a good thing going here. I like the band program, et cetera. So I don't want to change schools again because I had already changed once. And, you know, we kind of had this situation where he told me, you're going to be visiting maybe once every couple of weeks. Well, you know, I would ride the train up to Chicago. He even paid for my train tickets to go up to Chicago. He was so nice, this guy. And what I did to him was horrible. But anyway, he would buy my train tickets. I would go up every couple of weeks. But I was young. I was really young. And so about, I don't know, 6 months into him living in Chicago, I was lonely. You know, I was seeing him every couple of weeks, but it wasn't working out. And I really was at a point where I should have just told him, you know what, our lives are going two different ways. I love you, but this is not working. And I should have probably called it off. But I've always been afraid, or, you know, to end relationships. So I didn't. And so this is the kind of the frame of mind that I was in. So I was riding the train home from Chicago, and my boyfriend at the time, again, he had told me, you can have sex or you can mess around with other guys. Just don't get romantically involved with anyone. I understand that you will miss physical contact because I'm not there and we only see each other a couple of times a month. So I give you permission to do that. So I was riding the train back from Chicago to Memphis to go back to college. It was like a Sunday. And there was this cute little twinkie, at least what I found to be cute little twinkie boy sitting in the row, in my row, but he was sitting in the seat across the aisle. And we kept looking at each other. You know, and for those of you who have enjoyed cruising in the past, you know that excitement where you're like looking and the other person looks at you and you lock eyes and, you know, and then you kind of glance away. And this was, and we're on like a 10-hour train ride, right? So it was a long train ride, and we were doing this for, I don't know, at least a couple of hours probably. And then I get up, and but we're not talking to each other. We just keep looking over and glancing at each other. And I get up to go to the bathroom. And so when I come back, and there was a lady who had been sitting next to me. So I was kind of glancing over her shoulder at this other guy. And he was wearing a baseball cap, and I love baseball caps. And anyway, very skinny, just perfect. I mean, the kind of guy that I was totally into. And so I go to the bathroom, and I return from the bathroom, and I look, and I'm a little bit confused for a moment because instead of this lady who was sitting next to me, she was no longer there. And I thought, wait, have I gone to the right car? Did I miss a row or something? And I look, and he is sitting in the seat next to my seat. And that's probably one of the most forward things that anyone has ever done, you know, a stranger, you know, has ever done to let me know, hey, by the way, I'm also glancing at you. And yes, I'm attracted to you and I want to do X, Y, Z or whatever. And so I sit down and we start talking because obviously, you know, he's making a move here. And we talk and, you know, he's British. And so come to find out and that started my fascination with people from other cultures, but especially British guys. So anyway, we started talking and yada, yada, yada. And he had gotten out of high school, what they call, I think they call it college or something anyway, but it was our version of high school. And he was doing a year in the U.S., just traveling around. Like, they call it a gap year. But he was doing, like, and maybe part of it he worked, and then for half of it he was doing traveling. So he was traveling the U.S. and riding. He was using the train. They have some kind of, if you're a foreign person, you can buy an Amtrak pass. Maybe you can buy it if you're U.S. or what as well. But it lasts for a certain length of time, but you can ride the train, you know, as many times as you want. And so he was just touring around the United States to different cities, and he had just happened to be in Chicago, and he was going down to Memphis, probably making a connection to somewhere else. I don't even remember. And we flirted, and then we touchy-touched, and then, you know, he had a blanket that he would use when he would sleep on the train, and we did some touchy-touchy under the blanket and whatever. Well, then and that was fine. And then I think we went to the bathroom and messed around. I don't know. But anyway, on the train. So at that point in my life, that was probably the most, you know, salacious thing that I had been involved in. Well, I ended up inviting him to come back. I'm like, hey, I'll show you around my college town. You can see, you know, where I go to college and yada, yada, yada. And he came back and, you know, and that ended up being a 3-4-5 month thing where he basically, I was having an affair, and it became more than just sexual. It was emotional, you know, everything else. I finally broke up, and it was so bad because he was still traveling around, but we would make it so that when I was riding the train that we would meet up at the train station and he would ride back with me. And we did that several times. And he even came up to Chicago a few times. And I was still with my other boyfriend at the time. So it was horrible. So eventually I got the balls to break up with my boyfriend at the time. And it was horrible. But I really feel bad. I've always felt bad about what I did to Kevin, which was my boyfriend at the time. Phil was the young guy that I met. And anyway, but we were together after I broke up with Kevin. And then Phil had to go back to the United Kingdom. And so I went to visit him, and then he would come back to visit me and stay with me for a month at a time in my at my college. And I would, you know, we would go back and forth, but it was a long distance relationship because he eventually had to go back. And I ended up, I had, for those of you who know anything about me, I had had a plane, I was involved in a plane crash also around that time in my life. And around the time that I met Phil was the time that I started getting settlement money from that plane crash. Now, he didn't know anything about this when we first met, but as our relationship grew, I shared this information with him. Hey, I've got this money, yada, yada, yada. He even, my first car was this, or my first car that I bought myself with this money was a BMW Z3. And Phil actually flew with me to my parents to pick up the car because they had found the car for me and drive it back to my university. And he knew about all this money. And so at some point he's like, hey, Adam, I've racked up all this debt in traveling, and I've got to go back to England to work so I can pay back this debt. And I even offered to pay his debt off for him so he didn't have to go back. So at this point, I'm like giving him money. I'm paying off credit cards for him because I've got this settlement, right? And I just want him to be with, and I was obsessed with this guy. I mean, he was like the perfect little Twinkie, loved to travel. He was very smart. He had the sexy British accent. He was uncut, which I love. And, you know, which is, you know, and so I was just obsessed with him. I wanted him to be with me all the time. I would do whatever it takes. We would go on vacations. We went to New Orleans. We went to Florida. I would pay for all this stuff. And he did start to strike me as a manipulative person. Like, he had a lot of friends in other countries that he specifically had those friends so that he would have places to stay whenever he wanted to visit those places. And I started to see little manipulative things that he would do. And so finally it ended, and I don't even remember how it ended, but finally it ended, and he ended it with me, and I was begging. I was like, well, take one more trip, you know? And I think when he ended it, he was already back in England. And I'm like, well, we've already planned for you to come this particular month back. I've paid for your plane ticket already. Let's take a vacation together. And I was pathetic. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I was pathetic. And after that, after he went back for the final time, that started my obsession with British, and I did a study abroad program and found another boyfriend over in England, and who was very much nicer and not manipulative, and I'm still in touch with. But Phil, we lost touch, and I don't remember. It's been so long ago because this was like 20 years ago. But we lost touch, not quite 20 years, but almost 20 years ago, and we lost touch, and I don't remember whether he said, you know, we shouldn't talk anymore, or whether it just we stopped talking, or I told him it hurt too much to talk. I'm not really sure, but I lost touch with him. But every year, once or twice a year, I would just think about him because, again, I felt like he rejected me, and he was this little, I don't know, there were so many good things about him. And then I also wondered, did he ever really have feelings for me? Was he manipulating me the whole time? Anytime I was single, I would think, oh, I wonder if there's any way that I could find him. I would look him up occasionally, try to find him on Facebook or whatever. When I was in Texas, I even somehow found him on Skype or something at one point, because I think I had his Skype username, and we ended up, I don't know, having phone sex on Skype or something at some point. But I was just like obsessed. Well, so last night I had this dream, and it seemed like, now I'm sure it wasn't, but it seemed like I started a dream at the beginning of the night, and the dream continued throughout the entire evening, you know, and it was this dream about, you know, I was trying to find him, and then I was traveling all over the world because he was a travel, you know, he loved to travel. So I was going to all these exotic places and trying to, you know, find him, and I was, you know, and then I would find him, but then I don't remember because I'm not good at remembering my dreams, but I just know that I was traveling to all these places and looking for Phil. And I'm perfectly happy in my relationship now, and I haven't even been thinking about him. So I have no idea why this even came up, but it's one of those things that occasionally once a year, once every couple of years, I'll just think about him. And I never felt like I fully got closure because all of my other exes, we have maintained a friendship. Like, first of all, anytime anyone has broken up with me, I've only been broken up with twice, and both of them were the British guys. So the first time was Phil, who was the little Twinkie, and the second time was also a little skinny Twinkie guy, but he broke up with me because of the long distance thing. We had a conversation where he said, you know what, I love you, and I will always love you, and I will find the time that we were together special always, but we live in two different countries, and we just can't make this work. And I felt like I had closure. And then he and I remained friends. And for a while, for 6 months to a year, we said, you know what, it's better if we don't talk so we can let the feelings kind of subside. But then we kept that friendship going. And I still talk to him on Facebook and, you know, everything. And I don't feel that rejection. But from that little first British Twinkie little thing, you know, I just have this, I just feel like there's no closure there. And so I don't know if any of you are going to find this interesting at all. And you're like, why are you rambling? But, you know, my personal journal podcast is just where I can kind of get some things out there. And I just thought, you know what, I'll just ramble a little bit on this podcast. And so what I want to ask, so anyway, I have no idea. I don't know how to contact this guy. I'll probably never speak to him again. You know, I mean, he could be dead for all I know. I have no idea. And yet I still occasionally, and not as frequent, I mean, I think it's getting better, but the feelings, it's this like pit in my stomach, like, oh, why did he reject me? And, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But have any of you had that feeling where there's that one person, and not even that you're obsessed with them necessarily, but there's that one person that like that got away, so to speak, and you're perfectly happy with the person that you're with now. I mean, overjoyed. I love Mark. Again, love Mark with all of my heart, and I don't want to be with anyone else. But I almost don't understand why, when I'm in such a perfect relationship now, that this one person, you know, these won't stop. And so it's just weird to me. Like I don't want to be with him. I want to be with Mark. I love Mark, but have any of you had any of those feelings? It's super weird. The only other thing that's happened since the last podcast is Ricky from Foul Monkeys. I saw a tweet on the other day where he was like, oh, you've got to go to Amazon and order the Instapot. And, it's a pressure cooker. It's a slow cooker, pressure cooker thing where you can. And so I just gave in, and based solely on Ricky Burton's tweet, I went over to Amazon and bought this Instapot, and I got it. And last night I cooked the first thing. I cooked chili in it, which you don't even need to cook chili in a pressure cooker, but I'm trying to figure out what are the best things to cook in there. And I just wanted to try it out because I just got it in the mail. And the chili turned out great. It only took about 20 to 30 minutes. Instead, I normally cook chili for hours, and it only took 20 to 30 minutes. And I felt like all the flavors were really melded fairly well. And I'm sure I'll learn many other things. Now, I usually use canned beans for the chili, but a lot of the recipes they have in this pressure cooker recipe book are for, you start with dry beans, and it makes it a lot faster because dry beans take forever to cook, and normally you soak them overnight. But with the pressure cooker, you don't have to do all of that, and so that's probably where you get the benefit there. But I saw you can cook cakes in it, you can cook creme brulee because you can do steaming, you can do creme brulee in it, you can also use it as a slow cooker, which I do that a lot. So I think it's going to be really beneficial. So I removed the crock pot and the rice cooker from the countertop, and now the Instapot is the only thing there. My only concern is it's only Mark and I, and the pot itself is huge. So it looks like you're like making food for like 50 people. Not really, but I mean more than two. So I, like, one of my concerns was, okay, if you make rice, will it even make a small enough batch so that we don't have too much rice? And it was kind of weird talking about my relationship and then switching to Instapot. But anyway, I'm done. So again, let me know if you have that one relationship that, you know, even if it was 20 years ago. I mean, I've had two long-term boyfriends since then. Three since then. And still, occasionally, I'll just wonder, where did he go? Like, did he ever really like me at all? You know, was he just using me the entire time? I don't know. It's so weird. And why would I have a drink? I mean, because again, I just want to, in case Mark is listening to this, I don't want to be with him. I don't love him. I, for whatever reason, I just sometimes he pops into my brain and I just think, ugh, that was just a bad situation. Oh, I mean, the beginning of the relationship was bad and the ending was bad. So it was, ugh. All right. For more information, you can go to geekygay.com. You can email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com. And you can find many, many more LGBT and LGBT or GLBT friendly podcast over at pride48.com. Until next time, I'll see you guys later. Bye, everyone. This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.